what picture can I take that will look cool? Can I get a beach picture that I can put on my social media? Can I get a picture with this giraffe and put it on social media? And so be thinking through, is there an activity that we can do that's fun, but also my teenager can post about and it make it look super cool. And then you won twice. Hey guys, welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved, but we're here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. And I am Carly Duke, and I'm here with Chris Roby.
Hey guys.
So we are so excited to about the topics that we have today, the trends that we have today, and of course, the tip at the very end. And our first topic is one that might be a little more sensitive than we've been talking about lately.
Yeah, Carly, we've actually spent quite a bit of time just leading up to recording this, thinking through, all right, you know, we need to make sure that talking about this topic, that our audience and even those who are new to the Teen Life Podcast understand kind of the why behind this. We're really not taking a stance on this. It's really more so we're trying to understand more, as both Carly and I are straight he, her pronoun individuals, that a lot of this is pretty new to us. But we work with teenagers, and this is a conversation that's happening in the world of adolescence at a pretty big level right now.
Right. And so especially in the midst of Pride Month, we wanted to cover pronouns for our non-binary teenagers. And the reason that this is so important, and I was telling Chris, like, the reason as I was kind of doing research into this and was almost like, is this something we need to talk about in our podcast? But the reality is that teenagers are dying at a higher rate if their pronouns aren't respected. Wow. And so we are going to post, if you go to teenlifepodcast.com, you can find all of our sources, and we're going to post a bunch of links because we have quite a few for this one. But the Trevor Project did a national survey on LGBTQ youth mental health in 2021. And so this is very recent. I think they probably looked at the year of 2020 since it just released. But one of the things that they found is that transgender and non-binary youth who reported having pronouns respected by all the people they lived with attempted suicide at half the rate of those who didn't.
Wow.
Half the rate. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. So basically, transgender, non-binary youth not feeling like their pronouns are respected or accepted in their own house were 50% higher, highly likely to die by suicide.
Exactly. And so what's also interesting is the same survey found that more than 60% of transgender or non-binary youth under the age of 18 said that no one they lived with respected their pronouns.
Wow.
And so that's a high percentage as well. And so that's really the reason we want to talk about this, but we're going to be upfront. This is something that we're learning about and wanting to know more about. And so this conversation might not be perfect, but we are going to try our best to just learn because we want to equip and encourage teenagers.
Yeah. And I really do encourage our listeners to know this podcast seeks to understand.
Yes.
We are, the bottom line is we love teenagers, and we want to make sure that teenagers have the resources and relationships to thrive in this world. And so this is something that is important in the adolescent world. And so we're going to talk about it. And we are, since we are not adolescents, we're likely not going to get everything right. And so I'm excited to be able to learn a lot in this podcast.
Exactly. And so are you ready for another stat, Chris?
Yes.
I'm not going to talk only in stats, but I do think some of this is important.
Absolutely.
So that everyone understands that this is something that our teenagers know about and are experiencing, because a Pew Research survey said that 1/3 of teens and people in their early 20s know someone who uses pronouns other than she or he. So 1/3 of your teens probably know someone personally who might use a different pronoun.
So we bring that up for adults who are listening to this and like, oh, why are y'all talking about this? And I'll stress over and over again, sometimes it doesn't really matter what we think.
Ouch.
I know. And it's hard because this is a podcast for helping teenagers. And so having the understanding that this is a conversation that's happening, whether you know it or not, this is in their world, this is in their face. And so as the helpers, it's on us to seek to understand.
Well, and if you've listened to this podcast for more than a couple episodes, you will have heard this. We just believe in the power of conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to have this conversation so that you can go have conversations as well. And once again, we're not going to tell you what to do. And we're not even necessarily going to tell you where we fall on this, but it is important to have a conversation.
Absolutely.
And so let's get into this conversation. Let's talk about some terms. So if you don't fully understand still what we're talking about pronouns today, and especially for non-binary youth, which non-binary are people who identify neither as a man or a woman.
So non-binary is neither man nor woman. Okay.
Exactly. And so the most common pronouns used for non-binary, if it's not she or he, would be they, them.
Okay.
Which I think most people, when you think of they, them, you think of plural.
Mm-hmm.
But the Merriam-Webster Dictionary in 2019 actually said that it is a gender neutral singular pronoun. And it was the word of the year in 2019. Wow. So obviously this is growing in popularity. And so it's gender neutral. It can be used singularly. And you see this more often. We have celebrities that are coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And asking to use the they, them pronouns. Demi Lovato more recently did. And so while we used to call her she,
mm-hmm.
now you would say their. So instead of her music, it would be their music.
Their music. Okay.
Their song.
As to not identify a specific gender.
Exactly.
Okay.
Sam Smith is another celebrity that prefers to go by they, them.
Mm-hmm.
And so like I said, you might identify that as a plural pronoun, but now that is used singular, but it is gender neutral. And so there is no gender associated with they, them,
That's helpful for me to understand, because the plural is what threw me off on that. It's like, how do I refer to individual in the plural?
Exactly. So once again, that has changed more recently. And this is a smaller percentage. So this would be 1 in 4 LGBTQ youth use pronouns or pronoun combinations that fall outside of the binary construction of gender. So okay. This, like I said, is a percentage of LGBTQ youth. It's not like every teenager or every person who identifies as LGBTQ uses a different pronoun, but a fourth of them do.
Okay.
But then nearly 2/3 of them who use those pronouns use he, him, she, her, or they, them.
Okay.
So that's the majority.
Okay.
But let's also talk, rolling pronouns is another term. Okay. Have you heard of this one, Chris?
No.
So rolling pronouns is someone who would change their pronouns. At one point they might be he, then they might be they. They might change depending on their situation, the day, how they're feeling that day, how they're feeling about their identity. Some might even say, like, you'll see this in bios, like he, him, she, her, they'll put their pronouns, and some people might put he, they.
Hmm.
Because at some points they would like to be referred to as he, sometimes they would like to be referred to as they. So that would be a rolling pronoun.
Okay. So this is the one where, as someone who's trying to be in a relationship with a teenager, would be more of a, I want to say frustrating, but harder to keep up with.
Yes.
Right. And so how do we keep up with that? How do we keep an open conversation around a rolling pronoun?
I would say when it comes to rolling pronouns, that one is trickier. So if you know someone who uses rolling pronouns, which I would guess that this is even a smaller percentage, mm-hmm. that would use this, would be to ask. I don't think anyone would be offended if you asked, what pronouns would you like me to use today?
Mm-hmm.
They or them would probably be the safe bet,
mm-hmm.
because it's not related to gender. And you'll also see, I think in cultural more, people are using they, them if they don't know, just because it's safer.
Hmm.
So that is something that I would say would be the safer bet, but always asking,
mm-hmm.
what would you like to be called today? And they will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the other one I want to get into, and then we'll kind of talk about where do we go from here. But neopronouns is another term. And that is a word created to serve as a pronoun without expressing gender. And this is outside of they, them. And this is a very, very small percentage. So like 4% of LGBTQ use neopronouns. And these could be zer, zem. I've seen fey, fair, fey self. you can use any combination, basically any word, any noun can be used as a neopronoun. And so this one is very difficult to know. It's also really difficult in our culture to know if it's being playful, if it's actually very meaningful, if people are being mean when they use them because they're poking fun at other people.
Huh.
So this can be tricky. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. This one is tricky and still kind of confuses me even after looking into it quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. And so when I go through these, I feel a little bit old and disconnected. Mm-hmm. And I have to be mindful of that, right?
Right.
Because I know the times where I am the most dismissive or don't want to engage on a topic, it's because it's just kind of hard. It's one of those things it's hard to engage on something that seems so foreign. And so if you are a Teen Life podcast listener who this seems pretty heavy, pretty complex, I encourage you to engage with this. And we'll have all these links in the show notes of, you know, the source material that Carly talks through, so you can better understand this stuff. I encourage you to engage and not to dismiss.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be incredible the kinds of conversations that you can have with your teenager whenever you have some information, humbly, right? I've done some research on this, trying to understand what is your understanding of this topic, because when you start saying Zay Zim Fay Fair, I don't know what to do with that. But that's not to be derogatory, but to admit this is pretty new.
Right. And that's where I would say have that conversation. Ask them, do you know anyone who uses different pronouns? Do you follow anyone on social media who talks about their pronouns? Mm-hmm. Because my guess is even if they don't know someone personally, they've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the questions you kind of ask is, how do you know what pronouns to use? Teenagers, I'm seeing it more often, put it in their bios.
Mm-hmm.
It's like their Instagram bio, their TikTok bio. They would put their name, like I would say Carly Duke, she, her.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something that you'll see. You'll also, they might introduce themselves with pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
I've even seen this in a business world that businesses, when they announce that they hired someone new, will say their name and then say their pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
I've listened to podcasts that when they bring a guest on, they will introduce their guest and they will say their pronouns,
mm-hmm.
kind of to say this isn't assumed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to share that with you. And then if a teenager asks you, they might ask you, can you use this pronoun when you're referring to me? And
yeah.
So those are some ways that you would know.
And I've seen a lot of just kind of around Pride Month, I've seen a lot of my friends who are who want to communicate safety in a safe mm-hmm. place, use their pronouns of he, her, to basically communicate that I'm an advocate, I'm on your side, I'm a safe place to talk. And so I've seen a lot of my friends and businesses that, you know, are more supportive of gay and transgender youth use those pronouns to communicate that.
And one thing too, when it comes to safety, is to try to respect teenagers when you can,
mm-hmm.
or at least try to show them that you hear them
mm-hmm.
and you love them. I will acknowledge that this conversation probably looks different if you're a parent
mm-hmm.
versus a volunteer or someone who works with teens.
Mm-hmm.
This conversation would probably look different when I go into a Teen Life group. And I have had a student who uses a non-binary pronoun. That looks different than if that was my child.
Right.
And so we acknowledge that. But we would encourage you to have conversations with your students if they choose different pronouns, or with your student if they don't, and asking, how would you respond?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know a friend?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that look like? And so have these conversations. And we hope that this conversation that we just had gives you some more knowledge, some more context to what's going on in our culture, especially with teenagers. Hey, podcast listeners, it's Carly Duke, and we have been getting incredible feedback on our podcast. And we wanted to give you three quick ways to show your love to the Teen Life podcast. So first of all, if you're not subscribed already, go into your favorite podcast app and make sure you're subscribed so you never miss an episode. I promise we have some incredible stuff coming up soon, and you will not want to miss a single trend, tip, or topic that we're talking about when it comes to teenagers. The second thing you can do is go into your app and review the podcast. Give any suggestions, tell us your favorite episode. We would love to hear from you in your favorite podcast app. And then finally, if you know someone else that you think would love this podcast, please share it. share it on social media, or just text a link to your friend and make sure that others know about this resource so that they can join in the conversation as well. As you know, we do not believe that teenagers are a problem to be solved, and we are so glad that you're with us to help connect to teenagers. In the midst of this conversation, we said it's Pride Month, but it's also summer.
Yeah.
And I am ready. I don't know about you, Chris, but there has been more rain this spring than usual where we live. Mm-hmm. And so summer is just a very welcome. I'm ready for sun. I'm ready to have fun. And so we wanted to talk through for our trend some summer activities that you could do with your teenager that maybe they wouldn't hate.
Right, right. And this is, you know, just to put in context and timeline, this is the, in the United States, at least, kind of the post-pandemic summer where people are trying to get out. And my family just got back from a vacation recently. And I'll tell you, it is a crowded world out there. People trying to enjoy themselves, trying to get out. And it felt kind of normal.
Exactly. So one of the classics that is still fun are movies.
Yeah.
And theaters are finally coming back. Movies this summer, they've got some big movies coming out. Mm-hmm. And so movies are an easy one. Whether you do that as a family, it's also an easy one for teenagers because you can drop them off at a specific time and you know when it's going to end. Mm. So you can come back and pick them up. So I know when I was a teenager, that was always an easy one for me to do with friends because I could tell my parents, especially if I wasn't driving, here's when to drop me off. Here's when to pick me up. You know, they're going to be in one spot and they're not going to leave.
Yeah,
and that's an easy one.
And with such the insanity of the last 18 months to engage in some story together, I think is huge. And so as a family, even being able to go to a movie together and be able to engage in something that's outside of just the insanity of our world, I think is really healthy.
Mm-hmm. Another one, obviously, there are lots of outdoor things you can do. Mm-hmm. Putt-putt or mini golf is always fun. And I know that seems like a little kid thing, but anytime my son loves putt-putt, mm-hmm. he loves it. And there's one by our house. And every time we go, we see groups of teenagers mm-hmm. walking around and doing that. Mm-hmm. And so that's a fun one that you could do with your family. Topgolf, if you have something like that near you, mm-hmm. is great. And that's a little more grown-up version of putt-putt. Mm-hmm. But they've got great food. As a family, you can all sit, even if you don't like golf. I'm not a huge golf fan. My husband is. But mm-hmm. we both love doing Topgolf together. So that's another idea.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Swimming, boating, kind of being out in nature is, you know, early pandemic kind of got us outside a little bit more. But I know, like last night, for instance, it was the first, we talked about the rain. It was one of the first kind of nice nights and we've had in a while. And so I spent the evening fishing with my boys, you know, being out, just something outside that you can do together that forces you to be off your phones. You can't swim with your phone.
Exactly. And that's an easy one because it's a fun way to get them off their phone. They're not, I guess they're not, it's not as obvious of, hey, you have to put your phone up and sit with me. Mm-hmm. Let's go do something fun together. And naturally, the phone will go up.
Absolutely.
Another one is wildlife centers and like safari parks are fun. So we've got some in Texas that you can drive through in your car and see all these animals. Mm-hmm. And one thing I'll say is, the pictures are incredible, which might sound kind of silly to you, but when thinking about summer activities, a thing to think through is, will this look good on an Instagram?
Yeah.
Could a TikTok be done here? Mm-hmm. Because teenagers think through that mm-hmm. when they do activities. A lot of times they're thinking, especially if they're active on social media, what picture can I take that will look cool? Can I get a beach picture that I can put on my social media? Can I get a picture with this giraffe and put it on social media? Mm-hmm. And so be thinking through, is there an activity that we can do that's fun, but also my teenager can post about and it make it look super cool. And then you won twice.
I love that tip because this idea of trying to get off the phone so that you can put something back on it. Mm-hmm. You're right. That's a double win. I love
exactly.
that.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so as Chris said, kind of coming out of pandemic, the summer looks different. And so we would encourage you to take advantage of it. Make memories with your family because maybe you haven't been able to travel as much. Maybe you haven't been able to do as many things as you're used to. And so doing it in a safe way, but also giving your teenagers back a piece of their summer and some fun memories is never a bad thing.
Carly, to wrap up, we have a tip, and we've been through these heavy topics of pronouns and but talking through summer. We want to give you kind of a really practical thing to kind of end our podcast today off with, and that's about social media and who is involved in that community, right? And so a lot of the anxiety around social media, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago with the Finstagram, how that's not really a thing anymore. Mm-hmm. Where kids have kind of their close friends and are able to kind of more shepherd who can see what is on their their social media account, is asking trusted adults in the life of a teenager to follow them online. And so having that conversation with a teenager, even if it's one, hey, social media is a crazy world. There's a lot in it that's hard to control, but would you be willing to have one trusted adult from our circle who would follow you just to kind of keep you accountable, just to, as you post, you know, it's not mom and dad looking at it, but hey, this, you know, this uncle or this great friend of the family who we really respect is peeking in, and, you know, just for some accountability, that what you post is something that you can be proud of down the road.
Yes. And I would say this is especially helpful for it's helpful for anyone, but especially middle schoolers and teenagers who are just starting to get on social media. And I would also say this is helpful for multiple reasons, because as you said, it lets them know there's someone else watching, but it's also helpful if you have another adult that sees something, maybe your teenager's having a rough day and posts about it. You have an adult that's not you that can text them and check in and say, hey, is everything okay? And so this is a very open communication. Like Chris said, ask your teenager who they would want instead of you just saying, calling all your friends and saying, hey, everyone go follow my teenager. Ask your teenager who are one to two trusted adults that you would like to ask to follow you. And then talk to that adult and tell them, hey, would you mind following my teenager? And if you see anything, would you mind reaching out to them?
Yeah. And I would even go so far, and people might disagree with me on this, but to make an agreement with that adult that as a parent, I don't want to hear about it. Mm-hmm. That's a trusted, unless there's something really bad, there's harm or, you know, real danger to my kid. But when it comes to just like general stuff, y'all talk about it and I don't have to have a report on everything. And that your teenager knows that too. Like this relationship stands on its own and they are there to hold you accountable, but they're not coming back and talking to me about it. And so that allows for some better discourse. Now that takes by having someone that you really do trust that is part of, you know, close to your family, so that you as a parent, as a helper, need to think through that stuff, obviously. But we find when there is some agency with the teenager, anytime that you can give back some freedom where you don't feel like this is just mom and dad spies, you know, however you can kind of create that balance, I think is really, really helpful.
Exactly. So this week, we hope you enjoy your summer. We hope that you dive into conversations, even if they're difficult, mm-hmm. But do so in a way that your teenager feels loved and encouraged.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.